This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بعد قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه رياض الصالحين في باب فضل الذكر والحث عليه يحيى بن شرف النووي أبو زكريا يحيى بن شرف النووي says in his book entitled The Gardens of the Righteous in the chapter The Virtue of Remembering Allah سبحانه وتعالى عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبق المفردون قالوا وما المفردون يا رسول الله قال الذاكرون الله كثيرا والذاكرات عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أفضل الذكر لا إله إلا الله. The first hadith is on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه where he narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the مفردون have gone ahead. He was asked who are the مفردون. He صلى الله عليه وسلم replied those men and women who frequently celebrate the remembrance of Allah. And this hadith is recorded by Muslim and Ahmed in his Musnad and Hakim in his Mustadrak. And then the second hadith is on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu qal, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, the best way to celebrate the remembrance of Allah is to say, لا إله إلا الله. There is no true God except Allah. So the first hadith is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said sabaqa al-mufarridun, so they are have gone ahead. So this is the name of the people, the mufarridun, that they have gone ahead, meaning that they are ahead of the other people, which is a virtuous place to be. And then he asked who are the mufarridun. He said the men and women that frequently celebrate the remembrance of Allah, al-dhakirun Allah kathiran with dhakirat, the ones that remember him a lot. And remember we said the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqtadi bil lisan wal jawarih, but primarily is that which the remembrance of Allah with the tongue, by when you're you know, just in your car or you're at home, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, you know, even saying that not in a response, you know, sometimes we have different versions, there's different intonations of the dhikr sometimes, you know what I mean? When something bad that you do one time, you're like, subhanAllah. Or you have the alhamdulillah. You know, sometimes those are the good ones, and sometimes when you say it, you really want to say something else. Right? But alhamdulillah, at least we're saying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best situation is where one says it just out of remembering his name, remembering him. You're just remembering Allah. You remember something that happens in your life and you attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one of the best ways to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you remember something in your life and you recall it and then you say, alhamdulillah. You remember your health and wealth. You say, alhamdulillah. Just by yourself. You say, alhamdulillah. And then you think to yourself, man, Allah really does deserve all praise. Or you say, subhanallah. Look at what is going on. Look at how the amazement of the people, or I am really amazed at what is happening. Glory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's brought me here. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much greater than what I see. Allahu Akbar. Right? You say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on something that you encounter and you remember the name of Allah. And we talked about this numerous times. When you're in your salah and you want to concentrate and have your attention undivided, you think of something in your life that has happened and you think of a name of Allah that coincides with that. That coincides with whatever happened in your life. And that's how you can come back to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ said that they are the ones that are ahead, the ones that remember Allah a lot. And then the second hadith is he said, the best way to celebrate the remembrance of Allah is to say, La ilaha illallah. Afdalu dhikri. Is to say, La ilaha illallah. And this hadith is in Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah on the section of good manners. What's interesting is that Ibn Majah, one of the scholars of the Kutub al-Sitta, the six books of Hadith, he said that this is in the section of good manners. Of good manners. When one says, La ilaha illallah. What are some specific times that La ilaha illallah has been mentioned? Times to say it. Who can tell us? Sorry? Shahada. When someone becomes a Muslim, Ashhadu an La ilaha illallah. What's another time? The time of death. La ilaha illallah. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about that? Whoever says it at the time of death, what? دخل الجنة. دخل الجنة. They go to Jannah. So this is one of the best statements, because you see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned and requested or even ordered that one says it at particular times. Because this statement, La ilaha illallah, is Islam. How is this statement, La ilaha illallah, Islam? How is that? If you're just, if you're some, we submitted to one God. This is why with the translation of La ilaha illallah here, there is no true God except Allah. Is that an okay translation? What is your opinion? There is no true God except Allah. La ilaha illallah. Worthy of worship is what I prefer. Especially when I go to, you know, what do you call it? Interfaith meetings, or I'm speaking to people that may not be Muslim, or I give the khutbah and someone may not be Muslim in the audience. I want to be very, very, very clear on our belief. Because that's what separates us. To be very clear on our belief system. Why are we different than Christians, Jews, any other religion? Because of this. La ilaha illallah. Someone could say, well, Eid, five prayers. True. That is a part of the Sharia, the deen of La ilaha illallah. So what separates us is the belief, the creed, what we have in our hearts. That is what is very, that is what is most important. And that is what gets one into Jannah. And that is what enters one into the religion of Jannah. And then when they say it when they die, they enter Jannah. You see the connection? So it is as though, if we were figuratively speaking, when you say this, to become a Muslim is as though you are born. And then when you die, you say it as well. So as a baby, you say it. And then when you die, you say it as well. As a baby is coming into the faith. So the statement is azim jiddan. It is a magnificent, glorious, pure statement that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And one says there is no true God except Allah. This is okay. This is okay, but there could still be some incorrect understanding. This is why I don't like there is no God except Allah. Although, if you were to say that in English, it could be understood that that is true, that there is no God except Allah. But when you talk about God is the God in your faith, but what is at request of the human being? Right? Because when you say there's no, I've done this numerous times, talking to non-Muslims, right? I say, what is it? They say, there's no God except Allah. Oh, so your God is Allah, the God of the desert, Allah, right? And I say, there's no one worthy of worship. Worthy of what? Worship. Nothing else except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, go ahead.
Wouldn't that mean that there is other gods, but they're not worthy to worship?
It can mean that there are other gods in their perception.
That's what I'm saying. So, the word there is no God but Allah. Maybe the problem is people misunderstand what the word God
means. Exactly.
But that's the misinterpretation of people. But when you when we try to explain it differently, that there is no God worthy of worshiping, that means there is another God, but it's not worthy to worship. There is another God, but it's not true God. So we opening the statement itself to different interpretation. But if you misunderstand what the word God means, that's your problem. It's not the statement's problem.
True. Very true. Very true. And that's why sometimes when you explain God, you have to, like, after you, there's one time I was in a church actually, and I was explaining there's no God worthy, there's no one worthy of worship except Allah. And in the word God, even in and of itself, somebody's God can be money. Someone's God can be their ego. Someone's God can be a statue. Someone's God can be a prophet. That is why when we say there's no true God except Allah, that's why I say it can be, that's even better, because you say true God, showing, okay, the God in your perception is not true. Why? Because he doesn't deserve any type of worship. Why? Because of his qualities are not God-like. And sometimes you ask them, what is God in your mind? When you say God, what do you think of? Right? What is God in your mind? Because sometimes they will have a belief of God being a created thing. And sometimes they may not know because they're worshiping something other than the God that they claim because of their actions. And that's why Islam is so pure, because Islam focuses as well on the actions of the worshiper. Because remember we talked, what's the essence of shirk of Christianity? What is the essence of shirk of Christianity? How do Christians perform polytheism? The essence of it in their actions, not their belief. I mean, their actions come from their belief, but what is it? Okay, that's their belief, but what do they do? With that belief, what do they do? Okay.
And they pray for the prophet that understands, like, the it's the God's son.
Okay, that's still belief, but what do they do? You said they pray, you're close.
They drink the blood of Christ for salvation.
That can be an action of, yes. But that's an action of what? What action is that? In air, man, what is it at the end of Ayatul Kursi? Man the ladhi yashfa'u. Indahu ish? Illa bi idni. Shafa'a, shafa'a, shafa'a. That's the essence of the shirk. Intercession. Going through the creation of God to get to God. That's the essence of the shirk of Christianity. In other religions as well. So when we talk about their belief in God, but what are their actions that are shirk, that are polytheistic? It's a polytheistic belief, which will result from that a polytheistic practice. So yes, correct when saying that when we say there's no true God, it's their issue when they talk about God, because their God is a different perception, but what we mean is different. But in terms of da'wah, when speaking to non-Muslims or someone that may not know Islam, it's yustahsan to clarify the concept of God. Because when you clarify the concept of God to them, a lot of them wake up and say, oh yeah, I don't believe God is this, I don't believe God is that. Then why do I call on Jesus? Why do I call on? Because he has godly character. No, he doesn't have godly character. He's a human being. This is an entryway to da'wah. Because when you break down, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breaks down, as you know, Isa, مَنْ مَسِيحُ بِنُ مَرِيمُ إِلَّا رَسُولُ, that he's nothing but a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولُ, and there were messengers with him for, كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامُ, they both used to eat food. This is a characteristic of God? No, because their fitrah naturally will say, no, it's not. That's why he is not worthy of worship. So yes, what you're saying, Sheikh, is correct.
Yeah. You are using the same word, the same concept, so the person may confuse it. You know?
Right, and that's why, dependent on who you're speaking to, because like you said there's no good, I'm telling you, there's numerous times I've talked to people, I said there's no God except Allah, they say, well, that's your God. Yes. But then Allah, Islam tells us, ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa. Let's start from an even playing field. That's why when I talk to people about Islam, I use the word creator, the name creator. Because when you say creator, it puts us on an even playing field immediately. When you say Allah, the whole time you're talking, they think that's the Islamic God. And numerous times people say Allah, and I'm like, yeah, this is the name of Allah. Yes, it is. I understand. He doesn't believe in your Quran though. So you have to start from a language that he can understand, and that language has an implication that both of you already understand. So when I say the creator, There still may be some misunderstanding, but when I say, okay, the creator, the one that brought everything into existence. And sometimes if it's Christians, I'll say, you know, the Father, who's the Father in your religion? The Father is the Lord. The Lord is the, what did he do? He created everything. Did he create Jesus? Yes. Well, similarly, that is the one that we believe. We say Allah, because he created everything and brought everything into existence, and he can cause it to. So that's the even playing field you start from. Then from there, you give the characteristics. And that's why I always mention that the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the best ways to teach about Islam, about our aqidah, our faith, and the best way to give da'wah to non-Muslims. The best way, wallahi. Because when you mention a trait, from those traits, هَلْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ, were they created from nothing or are they the creators? You start from that fitri, the fitri elements that they can accept and acknowledge. May not admit, but accept and acknowledge internally. InshaAllah, that'll be a means to call them to al-Islam. Any other questions or comments? Anything else? حياكم الله وبياكم جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.